Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Yeah, as soon as they was pressuring me up the court as a ball handler, and as soon as I broke the line of the defense, yeah, that's when I knew I was going to have KP. They wasn't going to let me just get straight to the basket, so I knew I would have KP, so I just put it up there for him and let him do the rest. But Cookies and Cream is back. Let's get it.
I love this Celtic swagger. Happy Thanksgiving from KJ Lyons here on WEEI. And for those of you who are playing the Last Christmas Avoidance song, it starts tomorrow. So I don't know if you've ever heard of that, where you try to avoid hearing that song for as long as you possibly can, starting tomorrow. John, I love the energy, especially with Porzingis back. It feels like the team has now walked in the room with the best cologne, the best suit, the best shoes, the fresh haircut. Like, it feels like when they step up, like they need their own theme music.
It was interesting, too, that Porzingis, to me, came back Monday night a lot earlier than I thought he would, and a lot earlier than a lot of people thought he would, because originally they said December, but you even kind of got the vibe, maybe it'll be later December. Like, my original target was that kind of Christmas week, whether it was Christmas Day against Philly or a couple days later against Indiana. And I know it's late November, but still a lot earlier than I think a lot of folks felt. And it seems like from what doctors and trainers have said, the type of injury he had, though it was unique for an NBA player, it's the type that once it's healed, you're kind of all set. You don't have to worry about ramping back up as much, but he's still going to be able to, because even the other night he played, but only for 23 minutes and you still won the game easily. So to be able to kind of work him back in and get him acclimated back into this Celtics team, I think is huge for not just offensively, but what he brings defensively, what he brings with rim protection. I think that's a huge deal for the Celtics going forward. So it's nice to see him back, him healthy, but like I said, back a little bit earlier than I think a lot of us thought.
God, that 76ers game is so Anthony climactic already, is it not? Like, is it not? Like, if you're the NBA, you're thinking, damn, maybe we should have had them play the Sixers.
Can we flex on Christmas Day?
Right. Yeah. Maybe we should have had them play the Sixers in the first three games of the season versus a 3-14 team. Like, I probably want to call maybe even Spike Eskin down at WIP in Philadelphia, our sister station, or our buddy Sean Bell, right leading up to Christmas, just ask them, so what do you want for Christmas, and how about them Celtics? Because that was all the talk. Philly has built this team to go up against the Celtics. Do we troll? Can we troll them a little bit, do you think? I mean, I'm not opposed to it.
So I will not. I will walk a higher path.
Why not?
KJ, but
why,
I'll let you do it.
A higher path?
Yes, I'll let you do it.
The same guy who won't put any vegetables on his Thanksgiving plate. Oh, jeez.
So it's interesting, though, because we saw in the offseason teams really make moves with one thing in mind, and that was beating the Celtics. And you can go back a couple years with the Bucks getting Dame Lillard, Miami trying to get him, but even just this offseason, you saw the multiple big trades the Knicks made and the hype machine around the Knicks all summer, which was annoying in itself. But they made those trades, especially that Karl Anthony Towns trade. That was about Porzingis, and that was about the Celtics. And you saw Philly adding Paul George, like a wing that can score, like that's about Tatum and Brown. Like those were moves designed to beat the Celtics. And so far, I mean, it's totally backfired on Philly. I thought they were going to be a legit threat to the Celtics this year, and I look way wrong on that.
This is not a rivalry. Pretty bad. They always kick our ass.
So the Bucks have kind of rebounded, but still.
Yeah, well, maybe I call my big brother Sam Crenshaw at our sister station in Atlanta, the 92-3, the game, because you know Atlanta's going to talk all that mess because of the three losses that the Celtics have. It was an unfortunate loss against the Hawks, and it was without Trae Young. And you remember I was kind of in my chest about it, but Atlanta's one of those type of teams that are like, well, you know, we are one of the teams that beat the Celtics. I can't wait for them to see Atlanta again so we can probably call down to Atlanta and say, okay, so do you realize that that was just one night only? It was a one-night stand. You're not even in this conversation.
And if you look at the games the Celtics have lost this year, like the Indiana game, they're in overtime. They were down too. They come back, they get to overtime. The Golden State game was back and forth. Those are great teams. The Atlanta game is really the only loss where I'm like, oh, man, like, you know, we should have won. Right. Like, even though they could have won the Indiana game, they could have won the Golden State game, I get it, right? Like, those are two good teams that you went toe-to-toe with, and they happened to win on those nights. Really, the and that's kind of like, we're at November 28th, and there's only one game this year that I really look at with the Celtics with a lot of frustration, and that's that Atlanta loss. So I think that speaks to how good they've been this year coming out of the gates. I mean, remember we were talking 2 weeks in, like, oh, this team can win 70 games?
Yeah.
Look, they have three losses already, so I don't know if 70 per se is in play, but I think they can have a better record than their 64 wins of last year, especially now that Porzingis is back, because it feels like...
High school football scores time!
All right, let me see. Update. We have a second quarter score. North Quincy up 21-14 on Quincy.
Okay.
Brockton is up on Bridgewater Raynham 14-7 at halftime. Norwood's up 21-6 over Dedham also at halftime. Mansfield is up 14-0. I believe that's late first half.
Okay.
Wakefield's up on Melrose 14-7. Those are some games in progress right now. Scores are coming in. St. John's Prep looks like they are up 13-6 over Xaverian with a little bit left to go in the first half. And last one I got here, Catholic Memorial, up 16-6 over BC High. That game is also at halftime. So
we've
got quite a few games at the half. Right now, if you want any more scores read, continue to send those on in. We're going to read them at 11:30, 11:50, and I'll read them a couple times tomorrow morning as well.
Yeah, there won't be an interrupter for you tomorrow morning.
Yes, thankfully not.
That's kind of like the entertaining part of it. And plus, you know, Ken would love the fact that I'm the appointment setting this way at 10, 30, 50. Like, people are going to remember, and it just suddenly happens. Like, that is a the show.
Oh, actually,
genius.
Quick update.
Yeah.
North Quincy and Quincy at halftime now tied 21-21.
Wow.
Yes.
That's the inspiration of just cutting in, right? Like, they're like, you know what? KJ and Lines are doing scores. Quincy, we need to get this thing back going so at least there's a conversation at halftime of it being tied. So, you know, that Catholic Memorial BC score is kind of interesting because those are two playoff teams right there, Super Bowl teams.
And like I said, too, there's some other teams out there that are kind of on that, do we rest our starters? Do we play our starters? Because there's a couple, I think, 11-0 teams playing on Thanksgiving Day, but then there's some other teams that are in the Super Bowl but not undefeated. So it's been interesting to see how some of these games have shook out with teams that already have those Super Bowl berths. How do they approach? Because it feels like every year, ever since they changed this playoff format, which, by the way, side note, I hate it, but ever since they changed this playoff format...
Way to take the high road.
Well, I do hate it. It's thrown a wrench into the Thanksgiving Day games, because it used to be you would play Thanksgiving, then a playoff game, then the Super Bowl. Now, you know, going into Thanksgiving, whether that's the last game of your season or you have a Super Bowl after. So it's really, I think, changed the way a lot of these head coaches manage their teams. Now, some just say, whatever, we're going to play and we're going to go for it. But then others have said, hey, we're going to pull back, we're going to rest guys. So it's just been, to me, it's been interesting to watch how some of these head coaches
Maybe if the state and spend so much money fixing those orange line trains, we could have football, high school football, the way it should be. I'm totally kidding.
I don't like this playoff form. I thought they were going to fix it this year, but the MIAA voted it down. That was too bad to see.
Starting next Friday, you'll hear a lot of I think all the games will be on
WEEI. It's actually starting next Wednesday.
No,
Wednesday,
talking about the games. The games being on 850 WEEI.
Yeah, I think that's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
I think it's just Thursday, Friday. I saw some of the...
my bad.
Yeah, Thursday, Friday.
Because I know they're playing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, right. So the games picked up. Like, there'll be no Wednesday games, I think, broadcast. But I think Thursday, Friday is when WEEI 850 picks up broadcasting the games where you can hear
them. By the way, you want a jive turkey thing, KJ?
Okay, that was
Crafts,
in the last segment, yeah.
I know. But the Crafts and the Patriots used to allow the high school Super Bowls to be all day on the Saturday, which was an awesome, awesome day of football. It'd be like Thursday night, Friday night, all day Saturday. And the Patriots started saying, no, we don't want you to do Saturday Saturday all day anymore. So I just think that's an unfortunate thing because I thought it was a great day for the teams, day for all the towns.
Fair.
You know, I thought that was a bad move by the Patriots. They weren't making enough money on the Saturday.
Well, the other part of it is, you know, there is a game on said field tomorrow, right? So it's
But that next week the Patriots are on their bye week. They could.
That's right. I'm thinking about this week. Yeah. So
and
guess
in the past, yeah.
Will it always fall that way? That's what, you know, it's like if it's the 1 year. Well, I think that people would understand. Like, hey, this year it's not going to be all day Saturday because there's a Sunday game. Yeah, why not have it during all that time?
I agree. I thought it was really cool when it used to be like Thursday night, Friday night, all day Saturday.
Right.
And now it's like, now there's two teams playing on Wednesdays. There's a couple games. It's like, again, it's still the Super Bowl, but would you rather play Wednesday night
Somebody
or Saturday
gets lost out of the full excitement of everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I wish that's something the Patriots would go back to allowing.
KJ and Lyons, we'll look forward to the three games coming up that you'll hear on WEEI. They're the Thanksgiving games. And plus, we'll get into a special edition of Just a Jag. That's next. But right now, it's time to trend with Joe Braverman.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Bruins moved to 3-1 in the Joe Sacco era with a 6-3 victory over the Islanders in New York last night. Brad Marchand got the scoring started with two in the first period. Later on in the second, Morgan Geeky added one in the second. When it got to the third and it was tied 3-3, Pavel Zacha broke it open with two goals, followed by an empty netter by Nikita Zadorov, which was his first goal as a member of the Bruins. Joe Sacco talked after the game that it wasn't pretty, but the job was done.
You're going to have these games, especially, like I said, when you're in a back-to-back situation. And, you know, you got two teams that are desperate for points. And so it certainly wasn't our cleanest game, but that's hockey. Sometimes you find ways to win when you're not at your best, and that's a good sign for our group.
The Bees will return home for a matchup with the Penguins tomorrow night. No practice for the Patriots today. They'll get to enjoy the holiday. They continue to get ready for the Colts on Sunday afternoon. Yesterday at practice on the injury report, DeMario Douglas was limited due to an ankle injury. Jabril Peppers was also back in a limited fashion. Christian Gonzalez and Marte Mapu were full participants. For Indy, receivers Josh Downs and Alec Pierce were both DNPs yesterday. Also starting center Tanner Bordellini didn't practice due to a concussion. Week 13 gets started with a triple header of NFL action. First, it's the Lions hosting the Bears from Detroit. That is followed by the Giants taking on the Cowboys from Jerry's World. Finally, the Dolphins will head up to Green Bay to take on the Packers. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of every Thanksgiving game right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM beginning at noon. And in men's college basketball, Dan Hurley and the Huskies fall yet again as second-ranked UConn loss for the third straight game in the Maui Invitational to the University of Dayton, 85-67. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WBEI and WBEI.com.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer,
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mysteries Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think that's crazy at all. That's not crazy. And listen, Mike McCarthy is an outstanding coach. I was listening to the game last night, watching it, and Aikman was talking about it, and he's reiterated that several times publicly, this Super Bowl winning coach. And Mike McCarthy has been there, done that. He's got great ideas. So bottom line is that in no place in my body language or anything else have you seen indications about what we're going to be doing relative to this staff.
Happy Thanksgiving and officially happy holidays. Merry Christmas. What you celebrate today, we eat. And football, football, football. KJ and Lyons on WEEI. Of course, we've got all three NFL games here from Westwood One after we get off the air today. We're the only live voice here today. That's worth Thanksgiving right there, John. Like, Ken could have chosen anybody. Now, most people would have probably said no. But the good thing is, as long as Ken asked us to be here without interfering with our dinner time, cool to be here.
Hey, cool with me, KJ.
Yeah, it's, I mean, absolutely right. So it's kind of sad because with Jerry Jones, I think if they suggested to him to hire Greg Popovich because he's won titles, he may look into it. And I don't want to make a joke about what's potentially going on with Jerry Jones. But to sit there and say that, and that's actually from our sister station in Dallas. You remember during the NBA Finals, we had Zach Wolchuk on from the afternoon show there, and we kind of, like, you really think they're going to beat the Celtics in more than two games?
Yes, in the nicest way possible.
In the nicest way possible.
Do you really think the Mavs are going to win this series?
Right. Like, you probably have the confetti ready for game four and just kind of say thank you for being here. So that was to our sister station in Dallas where he says, look, Mike McCarthy may get an extension where I really think if the Cowboys get embarrassed today, Mike McCarthy gets fired.
It's interesting because let's not forget, I think it was, 5 years ago or so when the Lions got embarrassed on Thanksgiving and Matt Patricia got fired? Now, not exactly the same resume, I know. But, yeah, I mean, if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, and we talked about this with the Patriots, too, like last offseason, look at the coaching candidates that were available.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick, Jim Harbaugh, Mike Vrabel, Brian Flores, Ben Johnson, just to name a handful. There were so, like, there's always good candidates available, but last offseason was a uniquely great year for coaching candidates being available. And Dallas, let's not forget, they got embarrassed in that playoff game against Green Bay at home. They stick with Mike McCarthy. They don't really make much additions to the roster, and now they're a below-average team. Dak's out the rest of the year. I don't think McCarthy's back next year. And it's something that, look, I can understand why they hired him. He had won a Super Bowl before. Sure, I get it. But I was really surprised, given the quality of coaches available last offseason, that Jerry Jones didn't seriously consider making a change.
Well, I think to kind of tie this to the Patriots, right, Robert Kraft not being chosen for the Hall of Fame again, and Jerry Jones is sitting in there with, what, two championships totals in his ownership tenure?
Three, but the first two were Jimmy Johnson ones. So he has three. But
when did the Cowboys win another championship after those two with Jimmy Johnson?
They won one with Switzer right after, yeah.
Okay, so those three.
But still, that was 30 years ago.
Right, they're all together. Yeah. That's right, Switzer won it because, I don't know why, theme of gun in the airport around Thanksgiving, but that's exactly what happened at that time when Switzer was the head coach. And it was kind of like the puppet situation. I think if you're Robert Kraft and you look at how the Cowboys have not provided championships for the last 20 years, and you provided six of those really during that time, how come I'm not in, but this guy is? And you wonder, I don't think Jerry Jones even cares about what anybody else's legacy is in terms of ownership, because Jerry Jones has so much say and control. I don't want to say control, but so much say when it comes to the ownership committee. That if you're Robert Kraft, you're saying, you know what? Here's a real reason why to turn it around very quickly, right? Like, there could eventually be a conversation because the way these games are spreading out. Why would you not have a Thanksgiving game? Well, again, you probably don't want to go against the high school games, but why not have a Thanksgiving night game, at least here in New England, to celebrate, I don't know, where the turkeys were first had? Like, you want to get back to being a good team so that way you can get into these conversations of how do we get that annual Thanksgiving night game?
It's interesting, too, because the Patriots only played one Sunday night football game this year, KJ, and it was in the preseason. So, like, that's no Monday night games, right? They had the Thursday night game against the Jets. I mean, that's it.
If you want to count the equipment when that happens.
The only way they'll get flexed into a game is if the Bills and the Chargers have a playoff spot or something.
You're right,
like that.
Joe.
That's the
right.
Could be the Charger game. It could be the Charger game.
So they will, but even then, they'll be getting flexed into something because of somebody else. Like, even last year, they played the Chiefs. Taylor Swift was in the building, and they got flexed out of Sunday Night Football. Like,
well, thank you.
That's, but that's how far, unfortunately, they've fallen down.
Yeah. I think that this is why it's very, and this is where I do understand the fan base and their frustration is. Hey, if it's been that good for so long, it shouldn't take very long to be good again, or at least feel good. And I think that's the understanding. Like, if you're a fan of the Patriots right now, you think, like, oh, this team should be a couple of years away from getting back to the Super Bowl. I think that's absolute delusion. But if you feel like you can enjoy seeing this team getting into the playoffs, maybe being a wild card team, I think ultimately you want to get to a point where, like, hey, maybe they're a wild card team that can host at least that first wild card game, something like that. You know, maybe be that four, you know, be that net four seed or something like that. So you would want to hope that it at least get to that within a couple of years. And if Robert Kraft really wants his case to be made about getting into the Hall of Fame, it is a lot of what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, for sure. But I think, and even all the criticisms we've had of Robert Kraft in the last 4 or 5 years, like
this year, right?
He should be in the Hall of Fame. Like, he should. And if you compare him to Jerry Jones got in when they, you know, they won 3 Super Bowls, DeBartolo with the 49ers got in, they won 4 and their run there, like Robert Kraft has 6. Like, that, I think that should count for something. And he played a major role in ending the lockout in 2011. Like, that stuff should count for him getting into. So even the criticisms we have of him now, sure, valid, but I think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
There's also a part of me that thinks that he probably doesn't get into the Hall of Fame, at least until Brady walks in. And I think, you know, or maybe Belichick, because Belichick can be away for, what, just a year?
Yeah, so, well, if Bill goes back to coaching next year, then it'll reset the timeline. But, yeah, they changed the rules so it can be 1 year out and he can get in.
So maybe that's the real kind of emotional race that he wants to get in before Bill. Ah, high school football scores time! And I was getting good with it, too!
All right, we got a few games here. Abington is up 18-6 over Whitman Hanson at halftime. And cool fact in the Abington game, Abington quarterback Michael Riley has 2 touchdown passes in the first half, and he set the all-time career passing touchdown record for Abington with 31 actually up to 32 touchdowns now. So congrats to Michael Riley on setting that record. Abington up 18-6. At halftime.
Not taking favorites, but that is your hometown. So
Of course it is. You know it. North Quincy 21, Quincy 21. That game is also at halftime. It was a touchdown scored for Quincy with 17 seconds left in the first half to tie that one up. Boston English, some know it as New Mission. They are up 16-6 over Boston Latin. That game is in the third quarter. At the end of the third quarter, Needham is up 12-0 over Wellesley. Brockton is up 14-7. I think that's early in the third quarter.
Yeah.
In that game, and let me just see, I got a couple more here. Sandwich is up big in their Thanksgiving game. That one is early in the fourth quarter.
That's a stat sandwich right there.
It is. Walpole is up 20-6 over Weymouth. That game is late in the third quarter right now. And Pawtucket is up 14-7 on Triton.
Terry, there it is. Interrupt us, continue, because it's all for the kids and for the great tradition of Thanksgiving football in high school throughout Massachusetts. And, you know, even shout out to some of the schools that are like 4 and 5 playing each other. You know, this is really pretty much your last game of the season, but it's the rivalry game.
Yeah.
And we just safety to all the great players out there and enjoyment for families. So we're a minute away from Just a Jag, the special Thanksgiving edition. And John doesn't know what the theme will be until we release once we get into Just a Jag. So that's kind of the surprise portion of it. So before we get into Just a Jag, probably the other game I want to look at is the Dolphins-Packers, right? There's a conversation that, hey, if the Dolphins could kind of run the rest of the table with all their players back in tow, is this a possibility for them to possibly get that last wild card spot?
It's tough because that the picture's so muddied with that last wild card spot in both conferences, to be honest. But like, you look at the AFC, I mean, the Colts are there at 5-7. Miami's 5-6. They've played better under Tua, but I still look at that Denver team. Like, that is Sean Payton. That is a good defense. Like, that.
It's also a rookie quarterback, too, though.
You're right. But last year, remember, all that Russell Wilson had to do was score 19 points a game, and they would have won, like, 10 or 11 games.
Right.
And they couldn't do that. So now, I mean, can they at least do – it seems like they've been able to do that just enough times this year. But this is a pivotal week, because if the Colts go to 5-8, I think it's over for them getting into the playoffs. But if they can get to 6-7, beat the Patriots, then all of a sudden, hey – know, you're just a game or so back of Denver, depending on how that Denver game goes. You're right there in range. You're right there with Miami. So this game means a lot for the Colts, much like, and I know we're projecting a few weeks out here, right, but when the Patriots come out of that bye and they play Arizona, we've talked for years how great the NFC West is. This year it's kind of down. They might only send one team to the playoffs, being the division winner. So
we may not know who that is until the very last week.
Right, so that Patriots game is going to be a pivotal one for Arizona, because Seattle's already beat the Patriots, San Fran's beat the Patriots, the Rams have beat the Patriots. You don't want to be the one team in your division to lose to the Patriots and maybe lose the division crown by a game because of it.
Yeah, well, here's what's crazy about the AFC is if Denver doesn't get that field goal attempt blocked by Kansas City, you might almost say that you kind of know the path of where all the playoff teams are going to be, because it would put Denver probably two games up on its next opponent, but because they're just sitting that one game ahead. I'm going to see how Tua does in cold weather against the Packers tonight. It's a nighttime game. Now, there's a part of me that says, oh, my gosh, it's going to be on hard ground and everything. Oh, gosh. Too. Like, I feel like a worried grandmother. Like, I don't want to see
they
my
don't
baby.
Call it the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
That's what I'm saying. It's almost like maybe they can heat the field up extensively when he's out there before he takes the field. You know, you change over to the kicker ball with the K for the kicker. Maybe they could put some heated coils underneath when Tua comes out of the game just to soften the blow.
Yeah. Miami team. It's they put up a lot of points, and they're fun to watch at times, but you look at how much they struggled to adjust without Tua, and then you look at how the last several years they've ended their seasons with a whimper and not played well in cold weather. It just feels like there's something missing there. Like, I don't know exactly. Maybe it's coaching. Maybe it's a couple players or two. Maybe it's a combination, but it just feels like, I mean, how many times can you start 3-0 or 4-0 and not win the division? Right, like just feels like something's missing there.
I think Mike McDaniel probably overestimates his talent a bit, maybe.
And also, part of it, I think, is the way they've built their team, right? Like, they've built a team to be successful in the South Florida sun. That doesn't necessarily help you when you go to Kansas City in the playoffs, or if you have to
see a bunch of guys just standing off to the
right,
side of the
river. If you have to go to Buffalo in the playoffs, it doesn't really help you as much in those instances.
All right, KJ and Lines on your Thanksgiving Day. Thank you so much for being here. Hopefully you have a great Thanksgiving as well. It is now time for... Yeah!
Thankful for
I'm
this.
I'm sorry that I said you were a Jack. just a guy.
Just a guy. Oh, he's just a Jack.
Turkey
not
sucking.
Good, not bad.
Yep.
Doesn't stand out on the field.
Oh, slop.
Oh, he's just a Jack. Not great, not bad. Just a guy out on the field.
It changes a little bit, John, because I will give you the matchups for the Week 13 games, and you tell me which team comes out as the Jag.
Okay.
All right, ready? So we'll work our way backwards. We just talked about the Broncos. They've got the Browns coming to Denver. Who's the Jag, the Browns or the Broncos?
Oh, Cleveland, it's not close.
Just
Cleveland's
the Jags.
I know they had that nice win over Pittsburgh, but no, they're Jags compared to Denver.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Broncos are going to be the Jag, and
just
here's why. Jameis Winston has a way to keep that Cleveland team in close, and if they're on the road, I'm wondering, with the receiving core that he's developed, Jerry Jeudy may come back with the revenge game. So, literally, the sounder just a Jag is Steve Smith calling Jerry Jeudy a Jag when he was with the Broncos, and this may be the game where he proves that he isn't a Jag. I like the Browns in the upset. The Broncos will be the Jags. All right.
Just a guy.
49ers versus the Bills. Who's the Jag?
So, I think the Bills win, and the 49ers are Jags. This is a 49ers team, KJ. It's crazy. They were in overtime of the Super Bowl last year. They don't feel they're good, but they don't feel like the same team, and they haven't all year.
Just a guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Kyle Shanahan doesn't actually get in there and think that he can quarterback the game against the Bills at the Bills just because it's colder. I'm with you, the 49ers in this game, they're the Jags.
Just a guy.
I also hear snow is in the forecast. So watch out, San Francisco.
You know, you can't make a snowman without an eight, right? Sorry. That was a good one, right? You know, your snowman is an 8, 28, 3. Eagles, Ravens. This is tough. Who's the Jag in this game?
I'm going to have to say, I'm actually going to twist it out. Neither one's a Jag here.
You can't do that?
Like, I think Baltimore wins, but I think this is going to be the best game of the whole week.
You got to choose. Choose one.
I'm not. No.
Okay. If there's a team that I think is going to be a Jag in this game, I think it's the Ravens at home.
All right.
Now, I'm with you. I don't believe you, either one of these teams are a Jag, but the way it goes is somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose. Well, that's technically not in the NFL. You can't tie. I think the Eagles right now, where they are, they're on a mission to prove that they can beat a team outside their conference that's high quality just to keep up with the noise that everybody's laying on Detroit, rightfully so. All right, Bucks-Panthers. Who's the Jag in this game?
Panthers. I know they've played a little better in recent week, but yeah, it's the Panthers.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with you. Panthers-Jag. Rams-Saints.
KJ, if you have a spare $13, you can buy a ticket to this game. That's how many people want to go.
Make a joke about being in New Orleans and spending $13 on a ticket, but I won't do that.
I'm going to go with New Orleans being the Jags here. They've played better since they fired Dennis Allen, but the Rams are still, they're fighting for that NFC West crown, which, as I said, might be the only way to get in the playoffs from that division. So I think New Orleans is the Jags.
Just a guy.
And don't leave your car running, baby, because the Saints are a Jag in this game as well. I think the Rams are on to something. I don't know if they have enough to finish, but they are on to something. This is an interesting one. Cardinals, Vikings. Who's the Jag?
I say Cardinals in this one, and I know they've been much better this year than I expected, but Brian Flores and that defense, I think they're going to really confuse and disrupt Kyler Murray. I think the Cardinals are the Jags here.
I'm going to go with the upset and say the Vikings are the Jag here, because is there something, like Sam Darnold, as good as he's been this year, is there something in his head by the Vikings now going and getting Daniel Jones as a way to say, you're one step away from potentially getting yanked?
Just the guy.
Wasn't the talk about, like, who are, the Vikings were interested in getting somebody as a quarterback at the deadline. I forgot who it was. I was like,
plus,
they
did draft J.J. McCarthy. Don't forget. He
right.
Just got hurt.
So I like the Cardinals to keep kind of that momentum to go. Look, the Cardinals played the Bills tough on the road. I like what Brian Flores is going to want to do, but I wonder if Sam Darnold's going to give it up in this game. This is an interesting one. Steelers-Bengals. Who's the Jag?
I think it's the Bengals. I know the Steelers had that disappointing loss to the Browns on Thursday night, but 10 days to prepare, that's a great defense. Cincinnati, I mean, I mentioned earlier, San Francisco doesn't feel like the same team. Cincinnati does not feel like the same team this year.
You know, it seems easy to say that, but there are some people who are like, hey, I don't know if the Steelers have enough firepower, right? They're the king of the 12-6 wins, right?
Yep.
I think the Steelers may be in for it again for the Bengals, just for the Bengals to get one last hurrah out of this. They still have top-level players there. Their receiving core is all intact. I like the Bengals, so I think the Steelers are actually the Jag in this game. Titans, Commanders.
Titans, I think Titans are the Jags here. Just Washington. I still think Jaden Daniels is the rookie of the year. They have a legit chance to maybe not win that division, but at least finish second and be a strong wild card team. So I think Tennessee's the Jags there.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Tennessee's the Jag here.
Just a guy.
Seattle versus the Jets.
Do we even Who's have to say this one, KJ? We know it's the Jets.
The Jets are laying down for Shador. I really think that's what it is. And plus, Aaron Rodgers has hinted that he may not want to play next year. Guess what? I don't think the Jets want you next year. And by the way, did you not miss a... Imagine if Aaron Rodgers performed the way that he's performed. If he had performed better during this election season, I mean, damn, Aaron Rodgers could potentially be up for a cabinet position, too. What a blown layup this guy has had. I mean, good gracious, right? All right, Chargers-Falcons. Who's the Jag? This is a tough game to pick,
I think. Is a good matchup. I'm going to lean towards the Chargers being the Jag in this game. You got to go across the country for a 1 o'clock start after playing on Monday Night Football. Tough spot for the Chargers to be in. I still think they're a playoff team and they're a good team, but this Sunday I go Jag.
Yeah, I wonder what's up with the Chargers and J.K. Dobbins. He went out and let in Monday and Thursday's game. And plus, like you said, short week for travel. Chargers are the Jag in this game. Colts-Patriot. Who's the Jags?
It pains me to say this, KJ. The Patriots. Just the Jags.
Wow.
That defense scares me, man, after what we've seen the last couple weeks.
You know, I think the Patriots wake up. They know they've got a bye. They know the noise is going to be loud. The game is at home. I think the Colts are the Jag in this game.
Just a guy.
Texans, Jags. Do we need to say any more?
No, we don't need to say anything.
We don't
just
even have to.
Just a guy.
All right, Dolphins, Packers. Who's the Jag?
So I think it's funny. We were just talking about Miami. I think they are the Jags tonight. Green Bay looked awesome in that San Francisco win. They've had their bye a couple weeks ago. They've come out of it playing really well. I think Miami's the Jags in this one.
I totally agree. I think Packers are on a roll. Plus, that cold weather is their advantage. Cowboys, Giants. Can we say both are a Jag? Yes. Okay. Yeah. Since you went to the opposite, I'm going to do the same thing.
Just a guy.
And anybody who has to watch that game. And finally, Bears, Lions.
The Bears.
Just a guy.
KJ and Lions on your Thanksgiving. We have more high school scores for you next here on WEEI. Thank you for being here.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
KJ and Lions, happy Thanksgiving. The holiday season's now officially here. Black Friday tomorrow. John, it's appreciation for you and for Joe and for all the producers that work with KJ and Lions and for those who've listened to the show in its crazy inception of it. Thank you so much for being just a wonderful partner, John, and I really do appreciate you. So now I'll listen to you tell me how much you appreciate me.
Oh! Just in time. All right.
So we have
a bunch of high school scores. Actually, I'm going to start with some we got from last night here.
Right.
Milford 42-41 over Taunton in a great game. Jack Buckley, 4 touchdowns in that one. Bishop Feehan 27-7 over Bishop Stang. Blackstone Valley 35, Nipmuc 31. St. Mary's 46, Fenwick 32. Marblehead and Swampscott, they played a game at Fenway Park. That's pretty cool. Marblehead 42, Swampscott 6. We get some games in progress. North Quincy 21, Quincy 21 early in the second half. Abington 18-6 over Whitman Hansen. At the end of the third quarter, And in that game, Abington quarterback Michael Riley threw his 32nd touchdown pass of his career. That is an Abington school record. Shout out to him. We have Medway over Millis, 35-14 in the second half right now. Just going through a few more. Tewksbury up 34-0 big in their game. Pembroke up 22-7 in their game. Archbishop Williams up 28-6 over Cardinal Spelman. That's in the second half. Medford 20-8 over Malden, currently in the second half. And let me see if I can find just one more. Here we have Boston English 22, Boston Latin 12. That's late in the third quarter. So if you have any more high school scores, I will be on air filling in for Greg Hill from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. tomorrow. Send them to me at The Real John Lyons on Twitter, JONLYONS. Be happy to read any scores and highlights that you continue to send in.
And thank you so much for you sending them in, because it's a way to represent where you are, who you are, your communities, and so forth. The great thing is, we're always talking about the Big Four teams here, but it really is, it feels something special to be able to you're riding around and you hear your high school mentioned and the score that's going on. You run out, and that's what the sports station should also be about, is just recognizing. Now, we can't cover every one of your games, but at the same time, we appreciate you getting the information into us. And John, of course, you'll be in with Dan Ball tomorrow. I'll be on BetQL on the national show tomorrow, so I'll be carrying the Celtics flag for all of America. I'll put it in Sean Marash's face from our sister station, WFAN in New York as well. So you notice how I filibustered and not got right back to how you could do it. Do we need to play the Christmassy music again? Do you need the slow backdrop for you to tell me how much you no, you know what? You say thank you in so many ways that sometimes...
No, you are the most creative man on WEEI.
You got to say something else, though, because I use different words for you.
I'm telling the truth here, right? I'm a man of the people. I'm a factual man, as we know.
That is very true. John does not play around with anything but the facts.
Yeah, so you are the most creative man on EEI, but it's been a pleasure to work with you so far. And this was something that when we started, we've been doing shows for a while, but it didn't become a regular thing till about a couple months ago, and it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. So best to you and your family. Remember, your mom can send me that chocolate pie that you talk about that she
makes. I will let her know that.
Just tell her, don't put on the package, address to Chief Robert Parrish.
Or just a Jag.
Joe Braverman, enjoy your Thanksgiving as well.
Yes, Joe, a joy.
And those of you who are here with us, have a great Thanksgiving. And remember, you can listen all day to the games that are coming next from Westwood One, Odyssey app, or, of course, through your Alexa device. Hey, play WEEI Boston Sports Radio. Happy Thanksgiving. See ya!
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.